Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is so good, so good, so good to us. And His mercy endures, hallelujah, forever without ceasing. Well, are we ready this morning to receive? Are we in agreement about this thing? You know, utterance is not just all up to the speaker, of course. It's greatly affected by the hearer. So I'm leaving with you, for all of us, for ears to hear. Let's release our faith in prayer once again here. Father, thank you so much that you've helped us. Without you, we can do nothing. But we're not without you. So we thank you that by you, we can do all things and have all things. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We acknowledge your Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, whom you've sent to indwell us and to help us. And Lord, we acknowledge him and we ask for ears to hear, for eyes to see, for hearts open and receptive. Let there come again today, this day, our daily bread, fresh manna from heaven, Lord, and answers to questions, solutions to difficulties and problems, because nothing is hidden from you. Nothing is hard to you. All things are open and naked before your eyes and your search and scan. And we thank you that we know you, that we can call you Father, and you call us your own child, and we give you the glory and we give you the praise, and we say we will follow you forever. We will worship you forever. You are our God. Hallelujah. Everybody said out loud, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. I love God and I worship God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And, of course, the scripture said if you love God, you love his children. You love your brother, too. So in case you haven't practiced it already, I want you to turn around, look at somebody and go, ah, it's you. It's you. It's you. Y'all can be seated. Glory to God. That's fun, huh? Yes, it is. Get used to it. Guess what heaven is like? Glory to God. Would you turn with me, please, this morning to the 10th chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 10. Appreciate everybody sowing into the ministry. We'll use it to get more word to more people. Amen. The Lord has blessed us to sow a lot of materials and a lot of word. If you're interested in some of our materials, there's thousands of hours of teaching and ministry available for free, no charge, on the website. You can download it for free, or you can contact the ministry, we'll send it to you. And that's your offerings go toward things like that. So the Lord is good and faithful to provide. And we should not experience lack of any kind. It's not the will of God. It's not the plan of God. And we should have the best. Somebody say the best.
Yes.
The best to do what the Lord has called you to do and graced you to do. I mean, if you work on transmissions, you ought to have the best transmission jacks and tools in the world. That's too weak. Are y'all with me now? If you farm, you ought to believe God and have the finest, best tractors and combines and equipment and barns and silos. I mean, modern farming ought to come to your farm and take pictures. And show people how to do it. I'm serious. Why? This is the witness of the Lord. A witness for the Lord. Isn't it? It's not good when it looks like that our Lord can't or won't provide properly and adequately for us. You know, if you see small children, and it's obvious they're not clothed well, they're not kept clean, they're not kept right, that's not just a reflection on that child, is it? It's a reflection on the parent, right? And by the same token, our condition is a direct reflection on our shepherd. True? I mean, if he's a good shepherd, it's because he takes good care of the sheep. No such thing as a good shepherd that doesn't take care of his sheep. So thank God we do have a good shepherd. And go ahead and say it out loud, the Lord's my shepherd. I do not want.
I don't lack.
For any good thing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Raise the bar. Have a high vision. Believe to, you know, when it comes to believing for things, go straight to the top.
Hallelujah. Preach.
Are y'all with me now?
Yes.
This is important. When you're believing for something, let's say you need a new washer, or you need a new stove, or whatever it is, go straight to the top. Pew. What's the best one in the world? I got about five people with me. Find out what is the best one in the world, the best one ever made, the best one on the planet, for what you're wanting to do. Y'all with me or not? Let me talk to these folks over here a little bit. When you need something, or you just want something, either one. What do you do? Come on, help me out. What do you do? Go straight to the top, to the top. Because if you'll be willing and obedient, you're supposed to eat and enjoy and wear and drive and live in the good of the land. One translation says the fat, and he's talking about the best, the best, the best. So, you know, you got to know what the best is to even believe for it. So you go straight to the top. straight to the top. And then you'll need to see how much it is or what it is. You know what you're going to believe for. And knowing that you don't necessarily have to have the money to get it. Right? Just claim one. If your faith is there. Now, when you see what the best one is, you may have to acknowledge at the moment, my faith's not there. So then you may want to look at the next to the best, or the next to the best for today. Did you hear me? For today. But with a vision to step up. But don't start at the bottom. Don't start at the middle. Go to the top first and look at that. And see where your faith is. And if your faith's not there today, it could be there tomorrow. Next year, whatever the case might be. Is that okay? Don't start at the bottom. Start at the top. Did you find Romans? Romans chapter 10. Such a rich, rich chapter, of course. And he's talking about the preaching of the word. Let's look at a very familiar verse, the 17th verse. He said, so then faith comes by what? Do you suppose we know all there is to know about this verse? Faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. We're talking about where your faith is. Looking at the best. Looking at something that you need or desire. What if your faith is not there? What if they tell you how much it is and you feel like you're going to faint or something? Well, your faith is not there. How? But can your faith get there?
Yes.
How does faith come? Everybody tell me. How?
Hearing.
By hearing. Now, don't assume you know all there is to know about that. By hearing. Let me read to you another translation of this. It brings out some important things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Young's literal translation says, the faith is by a report, and the report through a saying of God. Well, you know, when the spies went in and searched out the land, they brought back the wrong report. And that report caused unbelief and fear. Just like faith comes by hearing the good report, the saying and report of God, fear comes by hearing the wrong report, doesn't it? I mean, you've probably seen people that heard a bad report and you just saw the color go from their face. Well, what, now everybody's awake, right? What caused that? Did they change when they heard that report? Their mindset, their soul, their feelings, their very physical posture and everything about them changed when they heard that report. Well, just like somebody can just faint from hearing a bad report, from hearing a good report, strength can come up into you. Strength can come up in you. Power can come over you. Right? So faith comes by hearing the report. Listen to the NIV says the message heard is through the word of Christ. Two or three translations say instead of saying the word of God, it says the word of Christ. And that bears out in the original. The message that is heard is what Christ spoke, God's word says. The Weymouth says, faith comes from a message heard, and the message comes through its having been spoken by Christ. Christ is the word for the anointed one. And so you could say it like this. How does faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the anointed. Or you could say the anointed word. Because again, like we were talking last night, what is it that does the work? It's the anointing. Well, it's also the anointing that produces faith in you from the hearing of the word. So again, the stronger the anointing on the word that's being heard, then that's when faith comes. Back up a little bit and look at how he progressed to this. I know some years ago, I was in Rhema, and a friend of mine was in another place getting a doctorate in theology, and we had discussions about some things, and another person involved in a certain thing we're talking about, and one individual was sending a lot of books to some other places, and books on faith, and books on healing and being redeemed, and spending a lot of money and going through a lot of effort. And one of these young individuals says, well, why not just send Bibles? Why not just send Bibles? Because we were emphasizing, you know, sending tapes, back then it was, tapes, and then, of course, the books and that kind of thing, but a whole lot of emphasis on the tapes and hearing the spoken word. And they said, well, I don't understand. Why don't you just send Bibles? And at first, I didn't know how to answer that. Because what are you going to say? No, I'd rather send this than send the Bible. But the Lord helped me to see this later. Romans 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call in him, call on him in whom they have not believed?" He's asking a question, so let's answer the question. What's the answer? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? They won't. They can't. True?
Yeah.
So you got to believe before you can call. Or you got to believe before you can act on something. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How will they? Can you believe without hearing? No, you can't. And how shall they hear without a Bible? Huh? What?
Preacher.
No. Preacher. Preacher. Because it's not just the word, it's the anointed word. Oh, come on now. That's why the Lord gave us preachers. You look back over your life and see the different men and women that God has used. And you think about this. You thank God for the Bible. We're not trying to say anything demeaning about the Bible. You know that. But how many times have you read something in the Bible, maybe for years, and then you heard somebody get up and say something with an anointing and saw things you never imagined out of that, right? Right? And that's when the faith came. The faith didn't come when you read it, you know, 20 times and didn't even know what was going on. Anybody with me this morning now? The faith didn't come until you heard it by the anointing, and then the faith came. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the anointed word. Glory to God. Oh, this is worth you coming out this morning. Just this right here. And you know, if anybody on the planet has begun to find that out, it's us. Right? We say, yeah, preach us the word. Yeah, teach us the word. We want to hear some word. But we can advance far above where we are. Because again, it's the anointing. The anointed word. Can the anointing be stronger on the spoken word?
Yes.
When men and women teach and preach the word, can that anointing be stronger by a factor of 5, 10, 100? And when it is stronger and stronger and stronger, if faith comes by hearing with an anointed word, how does faith come with the anointing multiplied times 10? Oh man, it'll hit you like a train going through a tunnel, and you go, glory to God, I see that. I'll never doubt that again. And you'll live different, and you'll think different, and operate different. Faith comes by the anointed word. The anointed word proclaimed, or taught, or prophesied. God has chosen to do it. How many know the Bible said the Lord has chosen? He's ordained that men be saved through the foolishness of preaching. Didn't say through the foolishness of Bible reading. Through the foolishness of what?
Preaching.
Certainly you can get a wonderful and amazing things from just reading. But if that's all you needed, he wouldn't have given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave us these things for the perfecting of the saints. Right? Why? Because we need that. Yes, we can get things from the Word, but we can't get everything we need just us and the Bible. Did you hear me now? No, you need the people that God has put in your life. In fact, all the ministry gifts are gifts from the Lord to you. Gifts to you. He's given. And he anoints. And by that anointing, faith comes through the hearing of the word. He said, keep reading. He said, how will they call on him in whom they've not believed? Well, they won't. How shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? They can't. How shall they hear without a preacher? They can't. So you need a preacher.
Thank God.
Yeah. All the preachers said, praise God.
Amen.
Job security. All right. And verse 15, how shall they preach except they're educated? Oh, let me look at that again. What? How shall they preach except what? Except they be sent. Sent. And that's not talking about sent by mama and them. Right? Like one fellow said, some are sent, some just went. No, you got to be called. You got to be sent in order for there to be any anointing on you when you proclaim or teach, for the hearing of the word, for faith to come. And that's how it progresses into it when he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I know I am so thankful for all the people God's used in my life over the years. Oh, they're truly gifts from the Lord. I'm thinking about the man that preached when I got saved that Sunday morning. Oh, glory. Glory to God. And all through the years, how precious these words are. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring this anointed word of life to you and I. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he went on to say, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Now see, that's why some translations say, because the Greek continues in verse 17 by saying report. Faith comes by hearing the report. Who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the report of the anointed one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How does faith come? Tell me again. How does faith come? Not just by hearing, but by hearing the word, and not just hearing a dead, dry letter, by hearing the anointed word. That's when faith comes. If you're open and receptive, and there is a proclaiming and teaching of the word by the anointing, that's when faith can come. And friend, this is precious. How many know faith is precious? I mean, faith is how you live. Faith is how you receive what you couldn't receive just before. Faith is how you overcome the whole world. There is nothing that can't be overcome with faith. Do you believe it? Faith is the victory that overcomes the whole world. No matter how impossible it seems, how far gone, how hopeless it may be, how many know all things are possible to him that believes? But can you just stir up faith when you need it? The answer is no. Did you read the verse? So then faith cometh by stirring it up when you need it. How does faith come? Comes by hearing. So what if you need more faith? You need to get somewhere where you can hear, where somebody's not just talking to waste time, but there's some anointing somewhere, right? You need to get to where you can hear. And faith for healing doesn't just come by hearing the word about water baptism. Right? And faith for prosperity doesn't just come from hearing the word about being about the resurrection and the coming judgment. Faith for prosperity comes from hearing the anointed word about prosperity. Faith for healing comes from hearing the anointed word about healing. Need to be specific. When you're deficient in an area, you need to focus on that area, the anointed word in that area. Now, in my few years endeavoring to learn how to live by faith and being among so-called word people, word of faith people, or charismatic people as well, there's a problem, a difficulty that I've seen, an area of confusion concerning faith. And I want to touch on it this morning as the Lord would help. I know I wasn't in the ministry but just a year or so, helping over at Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry. And they put me on the phones where people would call in with prayer requests and for a time also counseling. And I hadn't been there, I don't know, a few weeks, I guess, just as green as they come. And a lady called, just hysterical, crying. I couldn't even understand what she was saying. And eventually I got her calmed down and found out she was able to tell me she had just been mugged that morning. She was an older lady and she was in a large city and a guy had hit her in the head and grabbed her purse and knocked her down. And so I talked to her a little bit. Are you okay? Do you need to go to the doctor? And no, she just, you know, got a bump on her head, but and skin, knee and stuff, but she's okay. And her purse is gone, but she didn't have all that much in it. It wasn't that big of a deal. But she was just hysterical almost. And it's hard to talk to her. And eventually she began to express to me, she said, "That's, you know, getting knocked down, losing my purse, that's not really the big thing." She says, "I'm a believer. And I quote the 91st Psalm almost every day over my life. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and no evil will befall me." So she said, "How could this happen to me?" Well, I didn't know. And I'm sitting there thinking, "Lord, I don't know." But it's not going to help her if I say, "I don't know." I know when I first started ministering to people, you know, I grew up a relatively good life. I grew up out in the country, and we didn't have much of a crime rate. You know, somebody once in a while, somebody'd steal somebody's watermelons. It was me. And stuff like that. But, you know, my parents loved each other and loved us and stayed together. And, you know, we weren't wealthy, but man, we had a pretty good life, you know, and just not a lot of junk. And I began to be where people could call in and tell me about their problems. And boy, people began to tell me what had happened to them and what they were doing. And I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me." What? And they'd be crying their eyes out about this awful thing that had happened to them. And I'd get them a tissue and then I'd get one for me. And they'd say, "I don't know what in the world I'm going to do." And I'd think, "I don't know either. You're messed up. I never heard of this." But that's not going to help them, is it? That's not going to help anybody. And I had learned, thank the Lord, I was already beginning to learn that even though I didn't know, there was somebody in me who did know. How many are glad for that now? There's somebody in you who does know. And you got to look to Him in faith, expecting Him to show you. So while she's talking, I'm doing that. I'm looking down inside me. I said, "Lord, help me. I don't have a clue what to tell this lady. And I know You love her and I know You want to help her out. So help me to help, you know, use me to help her. Show me what to say, what to do." And in that kind of situation, now listen, so many times He won't show you the whole answer. He'll show you a step to take. Okay, are you with me now? He'll show you a step, one thing to say, and you won't know where it's going to lead to. It may be a question to ask, you won't know. But if you'll just follow him step by step, even though you don't, how many know Abraham went out not knowing where he was going? You got to take that step. And if you'll go through the steps of faith, he'll get you to the answer. He'll help you out. And so while I'm trying to check in my heart, the Lord prompted me to do this. Said, ask her this. And so I did, not knowing where he was going with it. I said, okay. I said, sister, what was going on this morning? You know, what did you? And she had told me she had been in a real rough part of town. I said, well, you needed to be there or something. You had some business. And she says, well, no. She said, actually, I had a check about going. She said, but I confess the 91st Psalm almost every day. Now, a lot of you already know enough to know this is a problem. But she didn't see it. And I was just beginning to see it. Now, what is she trying to do? She's trying to have faith for protection, isn't she? By a rote recitation of Psalm 91. But how does faith come? Come on, tell me, how does faith come? Now, the Lord can speak to you, certainly through ministry gifts. He can speak to you through your brother and sister. He speaks to you by His Spirit. And that's the word of the Lord too. Anybody know what I'm saying? He's the same one that authored the book. Right? And when He speaks to you, and if it's really Him, it's not going to contradict anything that's in the book. But it is also the Word of God. And it's anointed. And will produce faith. Now she's trying to have faith based on a rote, routine recitation of Psalm 91 that she'll be protected in this area. But the Lord has given her another word. Did you hear me now? What word did He give her? He gave her a check. Don't go. Right? Well, what kind of faith would that word produce? Faith to stay out of there. Faith that if I won't go, I'll be okay. Or are y'all with me this morning? And I begin to see from that early point, man, you cannot separate exercising faith and walking by faith from being led by the Spirit. I said, you cannot, at least successfully, you cannot separate walking by faith from being led by the Spirit. Because how does faith come? Hearing by the anointed word. And the Lord, Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And just like you need daily bread physically, you need daily bread spiritually. And you don't just want a word, you want the word for now. The word for this situation. Somebody said, well, stand on the word. It's a big book. Right? Which one of these thousands of verses, and is it okay to just randomly pick one? Well, no, it's not by a random letter of the word. It's by the anointed word that faith comes. And so what I begin to see with her, and a lot of people have made mistakes in these areas, was that what people were calling faith was actually presumption. And this has happened many, many hundreds of thousands of times, and probably more, in faith people, word people like you and I. Presuming something. Go with me to Deuteronomy, please. Can you take this morning? Is this okay? Deuteronomy, please. The first chapter. Deuteronomy 1. He's talking in verse 21 that he had told them to go up and possess the land. And verse 22, he said that you came and said, we'll send spies in the land. And Moses said, that's what we did. We took 12. And verse 25, they took the fruit of the land in their hands and they brought it down. They brought us word again and said, it's a good land which the Lord our God does give us. Verse 26, notwithstanding you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. See, he told them at that time, go up. Possess the land. I'm with you. But they wouldn't do it. They heard about the giants. They heard about the iron chariots and the walled cities and how that they're just no match for these guys physically, and they would not do it. They went back in their tents and they sat down and cried. Now, look at this. This is rebellion against the commandment of the Lord. So many times in today's society, we feel like that people need to be patted on the back and hugged because, well, bless your heart, you just don't feel like you're quite up to doing this. Friend, it's rebellion. I said it's rebellion. And it's nothing to be coddled. When the Lord says get up and go, you either going to get up and go or you going to rebel. Now see, people that sit back and, well, I just don't know that I can do it. And I'm just afraid to go. And people think, well, bless your heart. Come here, let me hug you. Don't hug rebellion. Rebellion needs to repent. Anybody with me this morning? No. This is rebellion against the commandment of the Lord. Well, it wasn't over. They rebelled to the point that he said, okay, you've been telling me all this time that you're going to die out in the wilderness. You've been believing it. You've been confessing it. And that's just what's going to happen. So turn around and go back into the wilderness. Now tell me, how does faith come? Friend, there's a lot to learn here this morning. From these passages right here. When he says, go up and possess the land, is that an anointed word? Yes. Could they have gotten faith to possess the land from that word if they would have received it and heard it? And let the word be preeminent in their life over what they saw and felt. I mean, yeah, they might be staring at these gigantuous men and these huge walls, but they should keep telling themselves, yeah, but the Lord said. Yeah, but the Lord said. He said we're well able to do it. He said he's given us the land. Could they have held on to that anointed word and by faith take, well, the next generation proved it. Because they did it. They took it. And it was the same giants, the same walls, the same iron chariots. They proved that by faith in that word, you could do it. So there was faith there. The word, the anointed word, produced the faith to do it. But now when the Lord tells you, all right, if that's how you're going to be about it, turn around, go into the wilderness. Now that's an anointed word also. What can you have faith to do now? All you can have faith to do now is faith to go into the wilderness. Keep reading. And verse 40, when he gave them this word, he said, as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Everybody say it out loud. This is the word of the Lord. So what should you do now? You better turn yourself around, right? And go into the wilderness. Because that's all you can have faith for now. Because our faith is based on the hearing of the word. Then you answered and said to me, no, we've sinned against the Lord, and we want to go now. We want to go, and we will fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. Now, see, they're saying, no, we're going to act on the word now. Because he said, go up and possess it. Yeah, but he said something else since then. Getting a lot of strange looks across the crowd. I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. Tell me how faith comes. Can you just muster it up whenever you decide to? Let me back up here a little bit. Faith in God is based on what he told you. Faith in me would be based on what I told you. Faith, you can't have faith in God beyond what he told you. You can't have faith in me beyond what I told you. You can't say, I'm believing for Brother Keith to come over and clean my house today. Unless I told you that I would, you can't believe that. Someone says, well, yeah, I can. I'll just by faith, I'll believe it. You can't. You can pretend. You can call it faith. You can play games. But faith has to have basis. Faith is based on something. Well, I'm just believing Brother Keith to come over and cut my grass. And I'm just going to believe it till he does. Based on what? I hope you're awake today. Don't discount this. And if it sounds a little strange to you, don't throw it away. Don't just accept it because I said it. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Get in the scripture. Find out for yourself. People have had a lot of confusion and made mistakes and come up short in what they were calling faith. And so much of it comes back to this. You can't just off the top of your head decide you're going to believe something. The folks around me and my staff, sometimes they'll say, well, I'm just believing this. And I look at them and say, based on what? And they look at you like, I'm just believing for it. You can't do that. Based on what? It's like you saying, I'm believing for Brother Keith to come over and babysit my kids. Based on what? You can dream, you can wish, you can imagine, but you can't believe it unless I told you I would. Well, we're having fun today. Tell me how faith comes. By you deciding to muster up some. How does faith come? By hearing an anointed word. And through what you hear, if I told you something I would do, now you could have faith in me that I will do what I said I would do. But you can't just off the top of your head say, I'm going to believe this. We are faith people. But we've been going long enough now to get loose with the jargon and phraseology. I was with somebody the other day and somebody said something. Another person looked and said, well, just take it by faith. I thought, what? We use phrases, don't even know what we're talking about. Amen. Well, I'm believing that so-and-so is going to get their act together. Based on what? I'm believing that so-and-so is going to get in line and do this. I'm believing this is going to do that. I'm believing this is going to happen. I'm believing people are too quick to throw these phrases around, and they're not believing. They don't have anything to base their believing on. It's presumption. I said it's presumption. It's presumptuous. Now the Lord told them, go up and possess the land. And when he told them that, there was anointing on it. And they could have gotten faith and got up and done it. Couldn't he? But no, they didn't want it that way. They rebelled against the Lord. And I'm telling you, he does not like rebellion. Rebellion's the nature of his enemy, Satan. Oh, rebellion's bad stuff. Ugh. And they rebelled against his word and would not obey him and would not do it. So he gave them another word. Right? He gave them another word. Turn around. Go into the wilderness now. They said, no. Now we want to do the first word. No, we don't want that word. But how many understand? This is still rebellious nature. He says, go. And they go, no, we're not going to go. He says, we'll go that way. No, we want to go that way now. It's still rebellion. Do you know there's a lot of rebellion around? Oh, and I'm not just talking about outside amongst unbelievers. Oh, brother, the devil's always trying to breathe his nature into people. He's always trying to get people to yield. And you see, even little ones, I mean, from the time they're barely old enough to understand anything, they learn how to look at you and go, no. No. Don't you take that sitting down. Don't you give in to that. Don't you laugh and call it cute. The nature of the devil is not cute. And if they don't get that straightened out, it can ruin their lives. It can ruin their marriage. It can ruin their occupation. It can ruin their ministry. Oh, friend, rebellion. And so, he said, no, you turn around and go into the wilderness now. But what'd they say? They said, no, we'll go up and fight now. According to all that the Lord commanded. See, they're saying we're doing what he told us to do. They're saying we're acting on his word. And when you had girded on every man his weapons of war, and you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said to me, tell them, don't go up. Don't fight. I'm not with you. Is this an anointed word?
Yes.
What faith can you get from this? That if you go up, God will not be with you and you will not have help, right? Just like that lady was learning, and I was learning. If the Lord checks you, don't go into that area of town this morning. You can have faith not to go. But you must not go, oh, no, he protects me. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and nothing no evil will come nigh my dwelling, and just launch out through there. Well, that's when you're going to get hurt. Because it's not faith. I said, it's not faith. He's given you another word. He's told you something else. Now, you told me earlier in the week that you would like a little bit of meat.
Yes.
Am I right? Didn't you? Seemed like I remember that. You told me that, right? About growing up. Becoming more mature. Spiritually. Well, this touches on these things. What did he say? They said, we're going to go up and fight. And he said, the Lord told me, tell them, don't go. Don't go. I'm not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not hear, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. Somebody say, again.
Amen.
Come on, do you see what he said? He said, go. They said, no. He said, well, then don't go. They said, no, we'll go. This is rampant throughout churches, throughout people. I mean, all over the place. You just see it all the time. And you can't be a faith person and live like this. You rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went what? Presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites came, dealt with the land, they came out and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir and unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord wouldn't hearken to your voice nor give ear to you. He wouldn't even listen to your crying. Why? He told you not to go. Twice. Told you not to go. Then sent his prophet again, said, I said, don't go. I'm not going to be with you. Don't go. So what did they do? So they went, claiming they were acting on the commandment of the Lord. Did he say go? Yeah, at one time. Was it in the word? Yeah, it was there. Now listen carefully to this. There are a number of people who are cloaking their rebellion and calling it faith. Rebellious faith? How could it be such a thing? People are saying, I'm just going to believe this. And it's in defiance. It's in rebellion. And they know something they should do and something they should submit to, but they search their concordance and try to find scriptures that they can rebel with. Half a verse here, taken out of context. Do you know what I'm talking about? Isn't that what they were doing? Come on, do you see this? They said, no, we're going to obey the commandment of the Lord. We got scripture. We're going to obey the commandment of the Lord now. Yeah, but he's telling them by his spirit right now, don't do it. This is also the word of the Lord. There are more than one person, there are many people actually, who have tried to cloak their rebellion by calling it faith. Faith doesn't make you independent. Now, if you live by faith and walk by faith, you don't have to be dependent on men to meet your needs and all that kind of thing, but A real faith man, a real faith woman is completely dependent on the Lord. You know, I can't believe anything unless he tells me. And my faith is totally based on what he said about this. And at any given day, yes, all the word is true, but he's not quickening all the books of the Bible to me at one moment on one situation. How many know there's a word? There's a word. Might be go up, might be stay home. And you need to know which one it is. Because zig when you should have zagged, and you get zapped. Let's look at a few verses that have not been very popular in our circles. Start in Acts. Acts 18. Let's just turn to three or four of them. You got time, don't you? Faith, real faith, is not wishful thinking. It's not a desire. It's not presumption. You have to have the word of the Lord. Let me give you another example while you turn into Acts there. Let's say I came in here this morning and I had a big roll, a peel-off roll. I mean a big roll. And I said, you know, glory to God, the Lord's blessed me. I just have extra money. And I just feel impressed to give 100 people in this room $100 bill each. I said, if. Now, here's my question. If I said that, could you have faith to receive a $100 bill?
Yes.
No, you couldn't. No. That's what I'm talking about. How many people's in this room? Is it more than 100? How do you know you're one of the 100? I'm talking about faith in me to do what I said If you came up and said, yeah, Brother Keith, I need $100, and this is it. I'm believing for mine, and if I said, who told you I was going to give you $100? What would you say? I didn't tell you I was going to give you $100. So if I said, I'm going to give 100 people in this room $100 bills each, nobody in the room could have faith to receive it. Nobody. Y'all are too quiet this morning. Nobody could. Because come on, tell me how faith comes. Help me out. You know Romans 10:17. You've known Romans 10:17 for 40 years. Come on. How does it come? Faith comes because you need money. No. Faith comes because you want it real bad. Come on, help me out. Faith comes only by hearing, right? That's why when people preach it's God's will for some to be healed and some it's not, nobody can get faith for healing. Hearing that. If it's preached God will prosper some, but some he won't, and some it's his will, nobody can get faith hearing that. Nobody. But what if I came in here this morning with two great big pilaf rolls? And I said, praise the Lord, I'm blessed. And I just feel impressed to give whosoever wants one in this room a $100 bill. Could you have faith to receive one? Yes, you could, because you're in the room. And I said, whosoever, right? And if my word is good, then you get your bill. And if you came up and said, thank you, I'll take mine now. And I said, who told you I'd give you one? You said whosoever, Brother Keith, and I was in the room. Right? You could have faith. And how many are glad there are a number of scriptures that says, whosoever will. Whosoever. Whosoever will believe. Whosoever. What does that mean? Everybody can have faith. Everybody can believe. Huh. Do you need to rest somewhere or another? I'm getting mixed response on this message this morning. It's like, Now see, babies don't discern between these things. And God has mercy on babies because he knows they don't know. But when by reason of time you ought to develop and you keep ignoring these things, you're going to have problems. You're going to claim that you're believing and it's not going to work. I said, it's not going to work. You'll claim this and you'll make a confession, but it's based on nothing. And you'll say, I'm going to believe for this and I'm going to believe for that and I'm going to claim this and I'm going to claim. And it's based on nothing. You got no word. You've not heard from the Lord about it. And it'll come to nothing. And we don't want that. And if you pray and don't get results, it hurts your faith. And when you make confessions and don't get results, it hurts your faith. I know the Lord said this to me some years ago. He said, Keith, he said, if you'll be more selective about what you pray and about what you say, if you'll be more selective, you'll be more effective. Don't be quick to make a confession. Don't be quick to pray and claim something. Look at it. Check it. Make sure. And only say it when you know. And then when you know, never quit. Stay with it from then on. And if we'll be selective... There's a lot of looseness has come about, hasn't it? Yes. I'm just going to believe this. I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to do the other. You need to look at each other often and say, based on what? I'm going to believe for this to happen. Based on what? Did you find Acts? Help us, Lord. And he is. Acts 18 and 20. We're word people, right? Yes. So we like all the word. Yes. Right? Yes. All the scriptures, we like them. Yes. All of them. Yes. Acts 18. Verse 21. It says, we bade them farewell and we said, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you if God will. It's a phrase you don't hear too often amongst our bunch. If God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Somebody say, I'll come back. If God will. When's the last time you said that? When's the last time you said that? Go to 1 Corinthians 4. I can see why the Lord saved this for last for me. First Corinthians 4. And 19. 1 Corinthians 4, 19. But I will come to you shortly. Help me out. What does it say? If the Lord will. And will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Paul said, I'll come if the Lord will. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? He knows it's the will of God to preach the gospel. He knows it's the will of God to help these people. Right? But there must be something he doesn't know. Something he hadn't got yet. Right? Until you've got it, you don't need to be talking about what you believe and what you claim. He hadn't got it yet for sure about if he's coming and when he's coming. Right? So he uses the phrase, if the Lord will. How many know what I'm talking about? This has become a phrase avoided in our circles. Right? Because we learned how we're not supposed to pray, Lord, heal them if it be thy will. And that's true. Why is that true? Because we got so many words that have proven to us it is his will. Now, if we didn't have those words, we should still be praying. If it be thy will. But we've got the words. And those words have produced faith. But there's been confusion because people understood that part of it. Then they just took that and applied that to everything in life. And are actually acting very presumptuously as though they knew the will of God in every minute detail already. And they're just going to say it. And proclaim it and believe it and haven't heard from him. And call it faith. But it's not faith. It's presumption. I said it's presumption. Let me give you some definitions of presumption. You'll get even more excited. What is presumption? It's not something you want to be into. One definition of presumption is to take something for granted. To suppose and take something for granted. Another one says to act or proceed with unwarranted boldness. To act or proceed with unwarranted boldness or impertinent boldness. It's not time to put on your bold face and push through and say, I'm believing, and you hadn't heard from the Lord yet. It's presumption. You know, take the scripture we've already referred to. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Is it true? That's the will of God. And yet you begin to read in the book of Acts as they were acting on this word, and Paul himself, more than once, the Bible said, the Spirit of God forbade him to go to certain places. Right? And another place, the Spirit of God suffered him not to go there. Yeah, but he told him to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't tell Paul to go to everybody in the world. This is a word to the body of Christ. So you can't just take, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that's, you know, faith for you to go everywhere and do everything. No, you need to hear what your part is. Right? And if we'll be led like Paul was, there'll be times when the Spirit of God will check you. No, don't go there. Doesn't mean he doesn't love them. Doesn't mean the word's not for them. It just means you're not the one. He's got other people beside you. And not everybody's ready for you. But the Lord knows who is ready for you or me. Yeah. Not everybody's ready for me, I guess. See. Presumption, to proceed or to act with unwarranted boldness. Another definition of presumption is to go too far in taking liberties. Assume. Presume. Be bold and you got no reason to be bold. Push and you got no reason to push. Assume. Take liberties. And nobody told you you could. Let's read some more. Go please to James, the 4th chapter. There are more, but I'll stop with this one for now. James chapter 4. Somebody say, I love the word.
I love the word.
And tell me how faith comes. Not because you want to believe. Not because you need to believe. Not because you'd like to believe. And not because somebody else is believing. Let me touch on this now. You got to watch about agreeing with people. It is true that if any two of you will agree as touching anything they shall ask, it'll be done by my Father which is in heaven. But how many understand we're talking about faith here now? And faith still is going to be based on what he said. And people sometimes are far too quick and hasty. Somebody to come up and say, you know, agree with me that such and such is going to happen. And you need to ask yourself, based on what? Well, let's just believe it. No, no. Break yourself from that. Based on what? Let's just believe that such and such happens. Let's just believe that we're able to do this. Let's just believe. Do you have a witness about it? Do you have a quickening about it? Does the Lord bring scripture to your mind? Has he spoken something to you by his spirit? If he does, good. You got something to stand on. But there'll be times, now listen, there'll be times when you got nothing. Did you hear me? You got nothing. And they're talking about, let's believe for this. And you feel so dead about it and you got nothing on it. Don't say, okay, yeah, we'll believe. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know what you got so many times? People will go, okay, all right. And they're pretending to believe and don't realize that the person that asked you to agree, they're also pretending to believe. So you're pretending to agree with somebody that's pretending to believe. Is it any wonder that people don't get results on these things? And I don't know what happened, you know. No. There needs to be some substance. There needs to be a quickening. And you know it. You know it when the Lord's in it. You know he'll quicken and he'll bring a word to you from the scripture or something by his spirit. And while they're talking, if anybody understands these things, they won't just expect you to jump on board and you don't know anything and got no quickening. You'll say, if somebody says, believe with me for this, what you need to say, if you think there could be something there, you say, tell me more about it. Tell me more about it. And as they're talking, you're checking your heart. Right? And you're looking. Remember, if you'll be more selective, you'll be more effective. You might not agree on 3 or 4 things that came up, but then one will come up and you got the witness and you know it's right and you'll get on that. It will come to pass. Well, you get used to doing that, you won't want to go back to this pretend goofy stuff. A lot of times, people that are in haste, the reason why they're so pushy about you agreeing with me is because they're not in faith themselves. And they're hoping that, they're not really there. They're hoping maybe your faith will do it because they're not there. And how are you going to agree with somebody that's not believing? Or if they're pretending and you're pretending to agree with them pretending to believe, and it gets to be a mess. Did you find James? Faith is right. Faith works. Faith is wonderful. But faith is not a bunch of play, pretend stuff. Faith is real. And it comes by hearing. You hear something. And you know something. Now you can believe. He said it like this. We've seen two places already. I could give you another couple in addition to this one, but it should be enough. Here's three witnesses now. James chapter 4. James 4. And verse 13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, somebody say, you ought to say. Is this Bible too? That's weak, guys. This is Bible, right? James, New Testament. This is Bible too. You ought to say what? See, when you don't know the will of the Lord, and for every part of the will of the Lord we know, how many understand? There's a whole lot of other parts we hadn't found out yet. Can you see what they were doing? He said that you just say, we're going to go there and we're going to stay this long and we're going to do this and we're going to do this and this is going to happen. Sounds like faith people. Well, that's just great and good. If the Lord told you, you would go there, you would stay this long, you would do this, and this would happen. Beware of filling in the blanks. I said beware of filling in the blanks. Just because you know a part of the will of God, don't fill in all the rest of the blanks. Maybe the Lord told you, go there. Well, that doesn't mean you say, we're going to stay a year, because you don't know how long you're going to stay. And we're going to do this, this, and this. You don't know you're going to do all those things. And this is going to happen unless He told you that was going to happen. You should not be so bold to say that's what's going to happen. Was Jesus, in His earthly walk in ministry, completely dependent upon the Father? Did He say, I can of my own self do nothing? I only say what I hear Him say. I only do what I see Him do. Did He walk in complete dependence upon the Father every step, every day? He said, I do always those things that please Him. Can you see Him acting presumptuously or rebelliously or saying a bunch of things that the Father didn't tell Him? No. And the servant's not above his master. If Jesus walked that way and waited on the Father for every word, for every day, then you and I must not fill in the blanks in our presumption either. Look with me at one place, and then I think we can close here. Hold your place in James and go to Acts, please. I know you may need to chew on some of these things, but do just that. I don't want you to just take my word for any of this. Search it out. See what's right. See how it fits. But it can be some answers to why there have been some difficulties. Right? In some areas. Why there's been some problems and some failures. Acts 21. Acts 21. How many know Revelation talks about warning about adding to or taking from? You remember that? Should you just stay exactly with what He said? Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Well, you have to watch it, because it's easy to assume. And you see that happening right here in Acts 21. Verse 3 says, when we discovered Cyprus, we left it at the left hand, sailed to Syria, landed at Tyre. There the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Disciples, believers. And they said to Paul through the Spirit, the Williams translation says it like this, they said to him, because of impressions made by the Spirit. Instead of saying through the Spirit, it says because of impressions made by the Spirit. They're not apostles, they're not prophets, they're not evangelists, they're disciples, they're believers. And thank God we all got the Spirit. And we all can pick up things. We all can have impressions. We want to watch about saying the Lord said. That's a strong word, isn't it? And yet, because they had an impression that they picked up by the Spirit, they said to Paul, you're not supposed to go to Jerusalem. Now skip on down in the chapter. And it says in verse 11, When he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle, talking about Agabus, and bound his own hands and feet. Now Agabus is a prophet. Back up to verse 10, let me make sure we all get this clear. There came down from Judea a certain what? Prophet named Agabus. When he was come, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and he said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Is that an impression of the Spirit? No, this is stronger. I said, this is stronger. He didn't say I had an impression. What did he say? The Spirit said this. What did the Spirit say? Don't go to Jerusalem? No, he never said that. What did he say? So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and will deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go. Don't go. And Paul answered and said, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased and we all said what? We all said what? The will of the Lord be done. These phrases should not be completely absent from us as Word and Faith people. This should come out of your mouth once in a while. Shouldn't it? If the Lord will. Why? Because you don't know yet. Am I reading Scripture?
Yes.
Is this in the Bible?
Yes.
Do you see where the other guys... I've read after theologians and commentators that said, you know, Paul had such a fine ministry, but he missed it on this one occasion. You know, the Lord warned him and told him not to go, and he went on up there anyway. Paul did not miss it by going to Jerusalem and by being bound. The Lord told him when he first got saved, you're going to bear my name before the kings, is that right? And the Gentiles, and that's how he got him there. Isn't that how he got there? Stood in front of these leaders and preached the gospel to them? He said, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake, right? Told him that when he got saved. This is the plan of God. But see, they picked up that he's going to get in trouble in their mind. He's going to suffer. He's going to get thrown in jail. And that couldn't be the will of God. So they said, don't go. They filled in the blanks. They picked it up right that there was going to be trouble. But then they went too far and was presumptuous. And said, that means don't go. And the Holy Ghost never said don't go. Here later comes a man of God, a prophet. And he's not talking by impressions. He heard the word of the Lord. And he said, this is what the Holy Ghost said. The man that owns this belt is going to be bound up. He's going to be thrown in jail. He never told him don't go. He said, this is what's going to happen. He's just getting him ready. Just preparing him. And you know the rest of the bunch must have knew that because they immediately seized him and said, well, then don't go. He said, don't do this to me. I'm ready not just to be tied up. I'm ready to die over there. And then finally they all said what? So then they must not have been convinced that it wasn't God's will for him to go. They all said, well, the will of the Lord be done. Let's finish up in James. James 4. Let me give you these definitions to presumption again. You enjoyed them so much while ago. Presumption means to take something for granted, to assume, to suppose. Presumption means to proceed with unwarranted boldness, to act with unwarranted boldness. Another one is to go too far in taking liberties. We don't want to do any of this, do we? We want to be bold when we're supposed to be bold. And we want to sit down and be quiet when we're supposed to sit down and be quiet. Right? And there may be times when we got a word from the Lord and we go, man, I know, I've heard from the Lord. And I believe this. And he said this is going to happen. And so I say it boldly. This is going to happen. And I'm expecting. And then there are other times people ask you about things and you'll have to go, I don't know. Yes. The Lord's will be done. Yes. Hmm? You need to admit when you don't know. Yes. I don't know. I'm seeking the Lord about it. I'm believing he'll show me on this. Yes. And of course, as soon as he shows you, now you got it. As soon as he quickens that word to you, now you can stand. Now you can be bold. Now you can proclaim it. Now you can make your confession. But see, we got folk that they want to use faith principles, but they don't know the Lord very well. You see what I'm saying? And they want you, just give me the word, and I ain't got time to wait on God and find out anything. Just give me a verse, and I'll go. Well, no, there's no substitute for knowing the Lord and walking with him on a daily basis and hearing from him daily. I said hearing from him. Daily. Said out loud, hearing from him. Daily. And where does your faith come from? Hearing from him. From this anointed word. He said in James, this is what you do. James 4. He said verse 15. You ought to say this. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And a lot of times we've used this last verse out of context, but it goes with this. Therefore, to him that knows to do good. To do good about what? About knowing about and acknowledging the will of the Lord when you know it, when you don't. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Stand on your feet, please, everybody. Singers, players, would y'all please come? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pray this out loud after me if your heart agrees with it. Say, close your eyes. Say, Father God, in any times and ways I have been presumptuous, I repent. I ask you to forgive me. At any time I've been rebellious or used faith phrases too loosely, tried to be bold, and I hadn't heard from you. I repent. And I ask you to teach me about this. I want to please you. Wait on you. I detest presumption and rebellion. I want no part of it. and no part of it in me. Because I know you despise it. I will to do your will. I desire to wait upon you, not move until I've heard from you, not speak until I've heard from you. And this I purpose to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just praise Him some. Let's praise Him some this morning. Lord, we worship You. You are exceeding abundantly above all we've asked. You are so good. So good, so good, so good. So good, so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, I thank You, I thank You, I thank You. I thank You, I thank You, I thank You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me teach you this chorus. Come on, Sky and Janet. You may know this one, Wayne. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. It's a chorus. I think they'll have it real quick here. The Bible said, wait on the Lord. What's the opposite of waiting on the Lord? Getting ahead of the Lord. We live in a busy, 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 busy world. People don't have time, but we must. We must wait until we've heard. We must wait until we know, and only then step out and make our confessions. Hallelujah. What key are you in there, brother? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Everybody say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. As you wait on the Lord, your God. As you wait on the Lord, and He will strengthen your heart. Sing it out loud. Say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage.
Spring. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you that you're always here to lead and guide us. We wait on you to hear what you would say. We wait on you to see what we're to do. And you will strengthen our hearts as I wait on the Lord, as I wait.
You know, Jesus was the perfect example of what Brother Keith has been teaching us about. As he was finishing up, the Lord brought me to this scripture in Luke 4. It said, "Now when the sun had been setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak. For they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed, went to a desert place. And the people sought him and came to him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said to them, I must go. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." You know, it would have been easy for him, with all of those people, for him to just say, you know, we could just set up camp right here. And we could have the Jesus Evangelistic Association turn into the Jesus Church. And I wouldn't have to travel and I wouldn't have to go from city to city. But you notice there, after he worked hard, he got up early in the morning. And he went before the Father. And he waited. And he heard. And he was prepared so that when another, Mark says, the disciples came to him as he was praying, and he already knew. He knew the will of the Father by waiting on the Lord. This was so valuable today to our lives. All of these messages this week, Brother Keith, have been so valuable to our lives. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Let's pray as we go. And I see Sister Billy over there. Are you going to come see us tonight? Praise God. Give her a wonderful hand too. Give her an encouragement. We're looking forward to what you have for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for this word you've given us this week and today. We bless Keith and Phyllis Moore, in the name of Jesus, we declare them blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 7:15.